a different kind of a logic on this February. February what? The 17th. It's Sunday. It's about 8:17 in the evening. And I'm going to talk about this illogical twist of the mind that comes your way. Thank you for coming to my website. Sorry that I'm kind of late coming out talking to you. I've been real busy this weekend. Real busy. And I think that this nice rendition of a little Gerwin mix with the beautiful talents of Herbie Hancock will be the only music that I'm going to play for this hour and talk us through it. Illogicality, why is it so logical for us to do those things that are illogical? That's what I'm going to talk about. And then I'm going to try to frame that reference of the conversation within the mindset of our knowing God on a personal level. And so we won't be utterly confused altogether. As you know, as an internet pastor, the book that I'm referring to will be the Bible. If I do not quote the verse correctly or directly, the influences of the Holy Scriptures upon my life for all the years that I pastored is influencing the webcast, opening my mind to love you and to give you all that I have, because you require it of someone that's going to speak the truth to your hearts. Thank you for coming to johnnycoleman.org. Yes, when you scroll down the page, you see those young pictures of me. That was me when I was just burgeoning on the scene as an adult man. I've had the privilege to meet many young adult men in my life today, and I see the same excitement in them that it was bursting out in me. It makes a difference. But you know one thing that I try to teach them? I teach them not to be illogical. I didn't teach them to speak or to teach logic, but to not make illogical decisions based upon ideas that are not substantiated, validated, articulated, or anticipated. We have to teach the young men of our culture how to think through a premise into a second premise, and then to get him to tie it neatly into a beautiful package as he presents a conclusion that makes viable sense. How else should a 75-year-old man think? Ah, yes. Good news. Went to visit a friend of mine, and his whole mind has changed. He loves practically everybody. He wants to live. He sees the benefit of not living a selfish life. He also has seen the way that love works, because he said when he saw me today, "Now I know you really love me." And I said, "What?" You see, oh man, if I could just get you to feel this passion with me for a minute. If I can only get you to understand that unless this love is engrafted into the heart of every human being, that whenever they come into contact with almost any other human being, there will be warlike tendencies. There will be tendencies to destroy, to dismantle, to take away one's power, and to exert your own, a new form of colonialism. Now, it's done on the internet. It's done in your face when they have you sometimes sit in front of a psychologist. You're clothed in your right mind, know exactly what you're doing, and told to follow a fallacy. It's illogical, but we see ourselves following it because we don't seem to have a way to get out of being illogical. Hmm. in the next few days, there will be some webcasts that you'll be listening to. I could have had a nice webcast tonight. Two or three people speaking on the mic in the studio. But I will only bring them in if they are ready to really converge upon a journey. Let me see. I am being bequeathed into personal privacy and quietness. No one wants to understand the progeny of a webcast, because the webcast is one that is too truthful, far too factual, far too beneficial. It brings you right up on the precipice of discovering something about yourself and actualizing it, allowing it to take place in your life, or to play the hypocritical game. It's always that way. I've been witnessing that for the major part of my life. How do we live in a world of ingenuineness? You know, I rent movies on Netflix, and I rented this movie on Netflix, the DVD called First Reformed. Or Second Reformed, maybe First Reformed. It's a storyline about a 47-year-old white pastor back in the New England states that's pastoring a 250-year-old Reformed church. You know, John Calvin, 5 points of Calvinism, all that kind of stuff. Well, some kind of weird string of events, this pastor loses his faith and he starts to do abominable things, not only to himself and even in a life-threatening way to the community around him. And as I watch this movie, it's just unthinkable to me. It was the kind of movie that I would tell my parishioners not to watch, because I know that the ones with a weak mind could easily be affected by watching it. I'm telling you because I think that the people that listen to me have far better minds than most people that attend the church every week and give all their life savings to a man and make him a pimp over them, and their family has nothing. I have a low amount of care to be around those kinds of people, because unless the pastor's doing a really tremendous dynamic job and doing it what no man has ever done, and you can get everything that the Bible teaches in print in a language that you can read and understand yourself without having a pastor over your life, or under your life, or in your life. I never saw that myself as that when I was pastoring a church. I saw myself as a servant, as a man that loved God and learned the love of God in my heart and want to share this love of God to every person that is willing to receive it. But I've learned in my very few years of living that you'd better receive that with thanksgiving and a hefty heart from whichever place you possibly can, because in most circumstances, in most cases, one will not be able to accent the positive. I love this music. Herbie Hancock, on the piano, believe it or not. He's doing his Gershwin thing. Quite beautiful music. I was telling someone that I do far better when I'm active in the lives of people than talking over them or about them. I like to speak into their lives. Not that anything but my words of wisdom might be coming to them. I still desire an outcome that would be totally positive in that. And so when I speak with the young men, I'm speaking with them as a person that cares for them, seeks to admonish them in areas or ways that can cause them to be far more successful in life than heading out there on their own. Some of you may say, well, I wouldn't tell a young man or a young woman that. I'd just let them go out there and learn from the hard knocks of life. Well, not today. You know how many people are homeless in the downtown areas of our cities? Huh? Do you know? Are you adding to that population? You know, with our selfishness? You know, we selfish people, we Christians. Oh, look at what the Lord has blessed you with, huh? Driving. I was coming east on Slauson, coming home from visiting a friend in a convalescent home. And I was in traffic with the other people riding next to him, and I said, my God in heaven, how many times have I come down this hill on Slauson Avenue, coming down to El Viso, to make that turn, to get down to 60th Street, to make a left-hand turn so I can get down to my street, Harcourt Avenue, and then to make a right-hand turn and drive all the way down to the end of the block. I thought about the numbers of journeys, and I just start thanking God. I said, I thank you, God, Lord of all, and kept me in different cars without any of my bones being broken up. I don't have cancer. I don't have diabetes. I don't have any known ailment in my body. And please don't misread me. God knows I'm not bragging. I don't brag very well. My doctor tells me that my blood pressure is, but I take my blood pressure tablets, not the way he recommends. I take half dosage instead of the full dosage. I don't like putting too much of that stuff in me. I don't. And I think that this medical marijuana is a godsend to people like me. Gives me the mental stability to do an intellectual, or to have an intellectual conversation with you, which is only one-sided because I can't hear you respond back. But I can see you in my heart, because I believe that when our hearts touch each other, you know who's listening. You know who's gaining from you. And you give them more. And for some of you ladies that don't think I care that much for the ladies, I love you ladies. But if you're looking for a man, you can't look in this direction, because I don't want to be your man. You know, they had a recent record I called, I want to be your man, be your man. I don't want to be your man. See, so when you analyze. Okay, that's it. When you analyze where you are in your life, like I'm doing, and then I want you to analyze where you are in your life, like you're doing, then I want you to answer me this. Are you doing as much? I'd like to present an idea to you, okay? An idea to you. If you were a senior citizen, that means a Hispanic or black or even a white person up in age, over 65 years old, had a house and knew about the plight of your community, would you for a couple of months help a young person get on their feet to get a job so that they can get established and give them a kick start? Oh, it wouldn't cost you anything because they'd have to be working. But if they just needed a place to lay their head and keep their stuff until they got on their feet, would you offer them that? Of course you're going to ask for them to, you know, take care of whatever is a burden. But if it's just to hold a box for them in the garage, would you do that? And I think that if we did that all around our communities, we just the seniors, if we asked the seniors to do it, and could the seniors trust God, number one, trust God enough, and then for them to trust themselves into helping the lives of these younger people. Don't look at what they do. That's who they are. Remember this, we did what we did, and it is what it is. Nothing has changed. I'm asking, would it be a bad proposition to, to talk with seniors and all these churches and these dead churches and say, you seniors want to keep living? You want to feel like you're alive? Well, a lot of your neighbors have had children and their parents were not capable of finishing off these kids with the right kinds of instruction, let's say. Wouldn't that be great if you were a senior and you could take your education, your knowledge, your ethics, and share it with the millennial African-American, girl or boy, in a one-on-one way without interference, because they would have to be 21 years of age. Because to me, that's a man. That's when the U.S. Army drafted my ass. I was a man, and don't be telling me, well, it's different now. No, it ain't. They're a man. I know. That's why I have that picture of me up on the website when I was, that was right, when I was 21, when I got drafted. That's me. Running my mouth, thinking, reasoning. The picture at the top of the website is more dated to me. That's me growing older. And I'm older than that picture there because I grew up. And what I want you to do is to think about this, because that movie, First Reform, is a movie about a preacher that couldn't answer the question. The youngster asked him the question, why should I not abort the fetus that my wife is carrying of my child when the world that is here, when my child is an adult, there will be practically no food to eat, the ozone is gone, water would be 4 feet thick in Manhattan, and blah, blah, went on, talked about the environment and everything else. And then he says, and you telling these kids, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus? Now, that was a pretty formidable question. A very formidable question. I liked the question. It didn't shock me. But that is what made the movie. Well, as I watched the movie, I saw the preacher go to pieces because he could not answer the question of the young man. And of course, the young man committed suicide. And that really pushed the weak mental preacher over the edge because he did not think about the God that he said that he worshiped. Now, let me give you a scenario. I said that I believe in the one and only monotheistic God, the same God I believe that the Muslims believe in. I believe in that one. That's the same one that the Christians and the Jews believe in. That's the same one. All right, we just call him by a different name. We just see him from a different refrain. But we all calling on the great, wonderful maker of the universe to pay a little attention our way. That's what prayer is about, right? You know, we need a little bit more favor, God. You know, black men ain't got no homes to live in. Our schools are all messed up. Our daughters are, the homosexuals are taking over. Let me tell you something. That young black, handsome, I might add, movie star on the TV show Empire, coming to find out that he was lying about being attacked, and that the two men that supposedly attacked him were Nigerian, that is black men, and that the whole thing was a put up. And I recall when that thing happened, I said to myself, if the right are going to stay in the habit or get into the habit of now attacking gay men that wouldn't hurt a fly, we're in bad shape. That's what I thought. I was outraged like everybody else, but then when the case comes out, come to say that the man that got beat up knew the man that beat him up. And so it looks like a put up. Now that sets or drags the gay community backwards. I don't care what anybody says. And I think somebody in the gay community ought to step up and say it. Boy, you brought shame to us. But let me tell you, Hollywood got some, look here, I live in this town. A friend of mine suggested to me one day that I should stop putting all of my religious talk up on the internet and use all of my ability and my money to build a porno website and to show pornos. And I said, nah, I don't think so. I said, I wouldn't be happy with that. Because that's not exonerating the God that loves us. I don't want to put debauchery up. That's debauchery. Anybody that spends their whole life in porno, there's something wrong with you. I don't care what kind it is. See, that's what I mean. We need to think about our young people and our communities. What can I do to keep them going? Yeah, but look at the youngsters, see where they are. You know, I have an opportunity to see every day of my life, and I'm looking to see. My pastor used to tell me this old southern adage. He used to tell me, John, results count, excuses do not. I like that. He said that when he went to school, I believe in Corsicana, Texas, when he was a young boy, he said that they had that sign as you walked up the steps to go into the schoolhouse. They had this sign up over the top. It says, results count, excuses don't. Because the children were going in one way to the school to go to their different classes. And every day they walked in there, they saw that sign. because the teaching staff says, we want to see results. We don't want to hear why you didn't get your homework, why you didn't do it, why you didn't understand it. Well, the same is applicable when it comes to the advancement of ourselves. I was talking with a friend of mine today, and I was talking about occupations, because I'm constantly talking to young men about getting an occupation. I have one young man that recently told me that he would not take an occupation like the one that he just had, because he believes that he can generate more money on his own than working so many hours at a job that pays basically peanuts. And then he said that he would not any longer waste his time with that kind of folly. Now, I like the guts of what he said. Listen to what I'm saying. I like the guts of what he's saying, because that sounds like a man. That's the way a man talks. A man says, man, I'm not going to put up with this BS any longer. And a lot of these millennials are like that. They look at their parents and they see that their parents have compromised, and the compromise has taken the parents to the behalf that they got on dope and couldn't get off of it. They see the results of it. I had one young millennial tell me, and he pointed his finger at me and said, we blame your generation. You did this to us. And I said, I raised two daughters. And he said, you know what I mean. He said, you're the exception to the rule. But they did that to us. Now, some of this same generation today, if you ask them about bringing children into the world, they don't dare want to bring them into the world, because what world are they bringing them in to live in? What will the world look like when their children are 35 years old? Okay? Children that are being born today, 35 years from now, will have started another litter or another generation. What will their children be? That's like saying to you, what will your grandchildren be like? Now, I know you may not want to think like that. You may say, John, that's your problem. You're going in areas nobody's thinking about. Hey, I'm 75 and had no intention on getting here this far when I was 25. Trust me. I thought that when I was 25, hitting 50 would be the apex of my experience. When I hit 50, what quite was natural was 75. I laughingly said that. 75, yeah. I wonder. Now here I am, and I'm beyond, and for the first time in my life I said, I could live to be 100. Now, if God, listen, this is the way God works in this. I said, I could live to be 100. I would personally, you have to understand, because I know what continuous life brings, it pulls on the body. And so I personally am not that excited about this pulling effect on my body for the next 25 years, because it hurts, brothers and sisters. As you live longer, it hurts. Nobody lives that long and not experience, in some cases, constant beckoning pain. Now, what I've found in my life, I want you to listen to me, because some of you are still listening to me. You're just not writing me, letting me know. I'm going to tell you how you can live a long time and feel very good in your bodies. And I've been telling you for the past 2 years straight, you better start loving people right where they are. Love them right where they are. Stop judging them. Stop trying to put your ambitions and anxieties on them. If they're millennials, they don't want the anxiety that we worked and craved for. They won't dare take it. They push it away from them. Since Lucy died, I've been living amongst them. And I'm telling you, they will not welcome ulcers if they could help it. What I love about my friend Dan Majors, who is deep into evangelicalism more than I was, what I love about him is the way he broke away from it when he saw the hypocrisy of their non-defense status. He had a few problems when they first banished him. That's when I went into action. I went out to Dan's house to see him, laid down next to him and hugged him and told him, "Don't let people kill you like that, boy." It's Dan Majors, my friend. Oh, you should have heard what the church said about him. God only knows what I think they're saying about me. But you know, I'm so cool, I don't give a darn. Because I'm still loving. And I'm going to love. And I share that if you want to have a meaningful life, and listen, there are enough older people that knows how to do what I'm talking about. That's why I'm not talking to the young people when I say this. I hope some of them catch on to it. As a matter of fact, I know one young man, personally, he's caught on to it. He knows it. He says, "Man, whatever is good for the human experience." That individual adult human that knows that that particular experience is life-giving for him. Why do you think people like being around popular singers that can sing very well? Not because they think that some glory is going to rub off of them and rub on them. They just wanted to get close enough to see that they're really human the way that they are. That's why people want to go up to celebrities. I want to say that I looked in his eye and he looked in mine and he said, "Hi, how are you?" I just wanted to know that he was human. But beyond that, that record called Backstabber, that was a good one. Smiling in your face and all the time trying to put a dagger in your back. Don't ever become a person like that. If you smile in someone's face, smile because the smile is genuine. You're looking in their face. That's how you make first human contact. If you think a person is funny looking, try not to laugh immediately when you see them. I said try not to. Sometimes some people got a funny looking face. And I'm going to tell you the truth. They know it. I never thought I had a funny looking face. I thought I had a nun face. And what I mean by that is I thought that I had a face that no one would waste their time looking at, only to come to find, and I found this to be very true, only to come to find that in my life, in these 60s and 70s of my days, that I was a pretty good looking dude all of my life. And my professional life as a pastor behind the pulpit, I was fine as silk. I'm telling you, boy, I was a good-looking dude. See, I pat myself on the back right now because I'm not going to lie about anything that I know to be true. Now, how do I know that to be true about me? Because number one, God made me. And number two, God don't make no mess. And number three, since I have the ability to love myself and God hasn't stricken me down for doing that, I'm going to continue to love myself. I was offered some jambalaya, some gumbo, or something like that. And I said, oh my gosh, it smells so delightful. I recall when I ate that back in the days when I was young. But I said, no, if I want to continue to be healthy, I must say no to that. And you know, I used to love eating it. And I went on to eat some bland vegetables. Because I've learned that the taste that makes your jaws tingle will work against you, go straight to the heart, and kill you. I've had open heart surgery. And you know what? I'm feeling less and less and less pain in my chest as I continue to eat the right kinds of foods and to stay away from the wrong kinds of drink and stuff like that. Your body is an organism. And we older people have to take care of our bodies. And if we do that, our bodies will take care of us. I am feeling a little equilibrium stuff. And that's normal for my age, my doctor says. I just have to concentrate when I get up now. On every step I make. Now, where are the old people to teach the young people that they're going to have to go through this? Especially if they didn't have parents to talk to them. And I'm talking about somebody not going to holler at them. And this is the big question. Where are the women? I was mentioning this to some male friends of mine, and he said, John, it may work with us males, but it'll never work with women. And I asked, why not? And he said, because black women historically do not care for younger black women. They never did. And I thought about it in looking at the nature of a woman. She doesn't want that young, voluptuous young woman to be more successful than she was, because in all of her life, she's a vain person. Women are very vain. And when you meet a vain man like that, he looks ridiculous in the first place. A man being vain, I know one or two like that, just beyond themselves. Oh, my God. I wonder what everybody thinks when they listen to me. They say, my God, did you listen to Coleman? Is he back in stride? Yeah, I'm always in stride. Don't be asking no questions like that. Am I back in stride? My webcasts have become times for me to sit in the Lucy Coleman studio and have a conversation with you. The only thing that is troublesome about this marvelous time is that it's a one-way conversation, because whatever you're saying right now, say it. It's on your tongue. Say it. Thank you. Now, whatever you said, I didn't hear it. Though you said it like you thought I did, now you're laughing because you said, what did he do? That's what I do. Telling you to ease up. Chill. Life is going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. Don't try to change these youngsters. Just teach them to be ethically fair towards their fellow human being. I like that golden rule thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But tell them the truth, that there are some people out there that will do them cruel harm. Cruel harm. Yes, it's so true, isn't it? Well, listen, let me see. I'm leaning over to try to see what time it is. Doesn't matter, I'm about out of words. Thank you for coming to my website. I do trust and pray that you learned something from having spent this time with me. I've enjoyed myself. Now, I finish a little music and a little wine and call it a night. Thank you.